piping porridge. Here's to the biscuit tot. Here's to the java flowing like lava out of the coffee pot. Here's to the eggs and bacon. Here's to the waffles unique. And here's three rousing cheers for the best meal of the week. For it's Sunday morning, breakfast time, the time all men adore.
Hi, I'm John Jackson.
And I'm Greg Patent.
And we're the Food Guys. You came across a very interesting article, which was fascinating to me. Reading the Nutrition Out of Our Food, New York Times by Joe Robinson. It's really amazing when you think about it, but the logic behind how this happened is fascinating.
Well, we're told to eat lots of fruits and vegetables.
Sure.
But we also have to choose the right varieties. Studies published within the past 15 years, John, have shown that much of our produce is relatively low in phytonutrients, the compounds which are healthful for us, and they have the potential to reduce the risk of cancer, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, and dementia. Mm-hmm. That's the power of phytonutrients. But with selective breeding over the years, we have stripped many of these phytonutrients out of the vegetables and fruits that we're supposed to be eating mostly. And there's some really good examples in here. Wild dandelions, once a springtime treat for Native Americans, and a lot of people like to eat dandelion greens today, they have seven times more phytonutrients than spinach. And we consider spinach a superfood. Then there's this purple potato, native to Peru. It has 28 times more cancer-fighting anthocyanins than common russet potatoes. She also mentions one species of apple, although she probably means a variety, that had 100 times more phytonutrients than the Golden Delicious. She doesn't tell you what this variety is, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So the question is, were the people who foraged for these wild foods healthier than we are today? She points out that they didn't live as long as we do, but there's growing evidence to suggest that they were much less likely to die from a degenerative disease, even the minority of these individuals who lived to be more than 70 years old. So the primary cause of death for most adults who were eating the more natural foods in the wild, according to anthropologists, was injury and infections. That's what caused them to die rather than some debilitating degenerative disease.
And she points out, could kill you.
And she points out that each fruit and vegetable in our stores has a unique history of nutrient loss. She says, throughout the ages, our farming ancestors have chosen the least bitter plants to grow in their gardens. Mm-hmm. And it is now known that most of these beneficial phytonutrients have a bitter, sour, or astringent taste. Secondly, early farmers favored plants that were relatively low in fiber, high in sugar and starch and oil. And these energy-dense plants were pleasurable to eat and provided the calories needed to fuel a strenuous life cycle. But the more palatable our fruits and vegetables became, the less advantageous they were for our health.
Reading this, I was reminded of Jared Diamond's marvelous book, Guns, Germs, and Steel. It came out in 1997. It's one of the first occasions I ever came across the notion that prior to civilization, prior to agriculture, in short, he simply asserts that people were taller, healthier generally, and if they didn't live longer, it was because of exactly what you were talking about, accidents. Injuries of one sort or another.
And we didn't
minor infection
could
kill you.
We didn't have the medicines.
A splinter could
kill you, right.
You know, one of the things that he noted was that, after all, these agriculturalists, starting 25,000 years ago or whatever it is, they began to select a relative few of the kinds of foods that were available to people who lived by hunting and foraging. They were, therefore, not getting all the kinds of things that were, for the vast majority of the time that we've been humans, the foods that were sustaining people and were warding off disease and all that sort of thing. That's one of the problems.
And one example is corn and the super sweet variety, which has taken over. And it's very sweet, but the nutrition in the corn is mainly sugars, and you're not getting the beneficial anthocyanins and other phytonutrients. What I think is really helpful that the author of this article does is, she says, we've reduced the nutrients and increased the sugar and starch content of hundreds of other fruits and vegetables. How can we begin to recoup the losses? And she gives some hints. Select corn with deep yellow kernels, not white. To recapture the lost anthocyanins and beta-carotene, she says, cook with blue, red, or purple cornmeal, which is available in many supermarkets now and also on the internet. She says, make a stack of blue cornmeal pancakes for Sunday breakfast and top it with maple syrup. Look for arugula. I love arugula.
Oh, yeah.
Also called rocket. They're rich in phytonutrients. She said scallions. When we're cooking with scallions, we'll use the white parts, the green part that really has the beneficial stuff. So she says use the whole plant and also pay attention to herbs, parsley and basil and oregano, and chop them up and use them as a major ingredient in a salad.
Yes.
And you will get lots and lots of good phytonutrients.
Those were not blended down, so to speak.
Yes. So the herbs actually have retained a lot of their healthful properties, even with all this breeding over the generations.
I thought the remark about corn was particularly striking. The kind of corn that is now available generally in the supermarket is 10 times sweeter than ordinary sweet corn.
I know, I know. So when we're told to eat more fruits and vegetables, it's important to know which vegetables you should be eating and concentrate on those that really have the highest content of the phytonutrients that are beneficial for us.
And what else is important? Come back next week for
The Food Guys. Dum dum dee 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 d